Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Everybody excited to be here today?
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, like he said, it's fast years going by. Already the 1st of June. That's crazy. Crazy talking up in here. Hey, your title today is this. Easter. We're still there. Easter and the Ascension. Easter and the Ascension is what we're going to be talking about today. Amen. How many of y'all glad that we had Easter? That we celebrate Easter? Where what happened? Who died? It wasn't Muhammad, was it? It wasn't Buddha. It was our Jesus, right? Our Jesus Christ died and rose again on that third day. Just for each one of us. Right? And every other person in the world that will believe on Him. Amen? And the other important thing after that is we're talking today about the Ascension part of it. He gets to go. He gets to go for a short time, right? And He sends something back for us to be able to live within us until His second coming. Amen? Are y'all excited for that today? Y'all excited? We're in like maybe the seventh Sunday of Easter or somewhere in there maybe. But your main scripture today is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 24. I'll get that word out. Luke 24, verse 44 through 53. Luke 24, 44 through 53. NIV version says it this way. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then He opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on that third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When He had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up into the heaven. And then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great pride. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Amen. Praising God. That's going to be our main scripture. We're going to get that in just a minute. But your first scripture is going to come from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15 through 23. Ephesians 1, 15 through 23, NIV version says this. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in the order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in His holy people, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and He seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above the rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything in the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way." Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always right now, I ask You, get me out of the way today, Lord. Allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, may it be your word spoken and not mine today, Lord. May you open our heart, our mind, and our soul for the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, may we glean a little bit closer understanding, Lord, of your true awesome, your true love, Lord. As we talk about the ascension of your Son, Lord, our Savior Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Y'all excited? Again, what's the title? Easter and the Ascension. Can you imagine? Think about it. Can you imagine what they thought when the Ascension happened? I'd have been like, wait a minute. I know it just died. There ain't no way it just happened. There ain't no way it just happened. That was some type of trick, right? No, no, no. No, it wasn't. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. On this blessed seventh Sunday of Easter, as we also commemorate the glorious ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's first passage again, Ephesians 1:15-23, offers us a profound window into the heart of Paul's prayer to the church. A prayer that echoes through the centuries and speaks to us on this side of the resurrection and the ascension. It's also a prayer for wisdom, for revelation, and above all, for our hearts to be enlightened. Let's walk through today the passage together and reflect on three movements in Paul's prayer that align beautifully with the meaning of Easter and the Ascension. The first one is this, a grateful heart. Paul begins by expressing thanksgiving for the believers in Ephesus. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. In the wake of the resurrection, the early believers were not just excited, were they? They were truly transformed, mind, body, and soul, right? Their faith and their love were evidence that something new had begun. Something different came upon the earth, right? When Christ rose, he birthed a new community marked by faith, marked by love. And this is what Paul celebrates during that. This seventh Sunday of Easter reminds us each that we are all still Easter people, but not a people who merely believe, right? We are to be known for our love, just as the Ephesians were. The second thing is this. We see an enlightened vision. Paul then prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. What a powerful petition that is from Paul. The resurrection of Jesus is not just a historical event, is it? But it is also an invitation for a deeper knowing. Not just of the facts, right? But a deeper knowing of God's heart for us. How do we know Him better? How do we know Him better? By the Spirit. By the revelation. By having, as Paul writes to us, the eyes of our hearts enlightened. That's especially poignant in the light of the Ascension. When Jesus ascended, He did not leave us empty, did He? But He did what? He sent His Holy Spirit for us, who opens our hearts to divine wisdoms. Paul's prayer is that each one of us would live not with earthly eyes like we do a lot of times, right? But with hearts awakened to a spiritual reality. Let me ask you today, guys, here and online. Let me ask you, how's your vision today? Not your physical sight, right? But your spiritual sight. Your spiritual perception. Do you see the hope to which He has called you? Do you grasp to the riches of His glorious inheritance to the saints? And the third thing we see from this is a living hope and a cosmic authority. Paul's final movement is breathtaking. He prays that we would understand His incomparable great power for us who believe. What kind of power? What kind of power? The same power that raised our Jesus from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. That is pretty good power, isn't it? That's power, right? Here's the heart of the ascension. Jesus is not merely just risen, is He? But He's reigning for us at the right hand again of the Father. Exalted far above every power, every name, every dominion. Not only in this age, right? But also in all the ages to come. Paul makes a stunning declaration. God placed all things under His feet, and He appointed Him to be head of everything in or for the church. We see the ascension. It's not Jesus' farewell, is it? But it is truly His coronation. He ascends not to leave us, right? But to rule for us. He now fills everything in every way. And His church. That's each one of us, guys, here and watching online. In His body in the world. We're looking at the ascension, aren't we? That's a big thing, ain't it? Christ's enthronement as Lord and King. It launched His church into a spirit-empowered mission. The main scripture again, Luke 24:44-53. That's what we're going to talk about now. The Gospel of Luke ends not with a period, right? But a semicolon. A semicolon. That means it's not done, right? That means the story's not over at that point, right? Because Jesus ascends. But the mission itself is to continue. The story of redemption from Genesis to Revelation culminates in Christ's death, His resurrection, and the ascension. The ascension is not an epilogue, but it is truly a turning point from Christ's earthly ministry to the church's spirit-empowered witness. We see the fulfillment of the scripture. These are many words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. From the opening characters of Genesis, scripture has pointed to a Redeemer for us. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms all unfold that promise. A prophet like Moses, a priest like Melchizedek, a king from David's line. Jesus is the one that fulfills all of them. Amen. Everything written about me must be fulfilled. Everything written about Him must be fulfilled. Amen. That echoes Jesus' words in Matthew 5:17, where He said, "I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them." Amen. Christ is truly the climax of conventional history. We see Christ is the true Israel who keeps the covenant perfectly. He is the suffering servant, the greater Jonah. He is the enthroned Son, the rejected cornerstone. Amen. That confirms to us that Jesus is not a plan B, is it? Like so many people want to try to tell us He is. But He is truly the fulfillment of God's eternal redemptive plan. And Easter is the proof that God keeps His promises. We see the message of the gospel, the repentance of the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in His name, where? In all nations, not just one or two, right? But in all nations. That is not an Abrahamic promise fulfilled. In you. Or this is the Abrahamic promise fulfilled. Sorry about that. It is that promise. In you all the families on earth shall be blessed. The universal scope of the gospel was always God's intent, or what always God's intent. Isaiah envisioned the day when God's servant would be a light for all the nations. Jesus' death and his resurrection are the basis for that new creation gospel. The curse of sin is reversed through repentance and forgiveness. The message, once confined to Israel, is now global. All nations, right? Not just one, right? Not just a little bit of people, right? But it's truly worldwide and ready to play full stage globally. Because we can have repentance by turning from God to sin, or from sin to God. We have forgiveness based upon the atoning death of the Messiah. And all nations echo Psalm 67 and the Great Commission from Matthew. The church isn't just a fellowship, not just a building, is it? But it is truly a mission outpost, right? The same gospel that redeemed each one of us must be proclaimed by each one of us. Oh, y'all heard that, right? If you're saved, guess what? You got a mission. You got to proclaim the same God that any pastor or preacher that you hear does. You got to claim it. Redeem it. Claim that redeemed power to every tribe, to every tongue in the world. We also see the promise of that power, don't we? Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The Spirit of God has always been an agent of life and mission. In creation, He hovered over the waters. In the wilderness, He guided Israel. In the prophets, He empowered proclamation. And now, in Jesus, promises the new covenant outpouring of the Spirit, which He secures by His death and His resurrection. Amen. The Spirit itself is the empowering presence of God. Pentecost is the reversal of Babel, unifying the nations through the gospel proclamations. We cannot fulfill a heavenly mission with earthly power, can we? We have to have heavenly God Spirit power, don't we? The Spirit is not optional. He is essential for us, though. Like the disciples, we must be people of prayerful expectation and dependence on God. We also see the ascension of our Christ. Lifting up His hands, He blessed them and was carried away into heaven. The ascension itself fulfills Psalm 110, verse 1. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It is Christ's enthronement as a king and as a priest. In Daniel, the Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days and receives dominion. And from Hebrews, after making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. We see some good theology on Christ's exaltation, don't we? God now reigns over heaven and earth. He intercedes for His people, us. He will return in glory. Amen. The ascension itself assures each one of us that Christ is King now and forever. We do not labor in uncertainty, but in the true power and the authority of the exalted Lord. Our Savior rules and advocates for each one of our behalf. We also see the worship of the disciples. They worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The disciples respond with worship and joy, don't they? Not grief. Not grief like a lot of us do, right? Why is that? Because they now know that Jesus departed in His enthronement and there in power. They now know, they understand that Jesus' departure is His enthronement and their power, empowerment. That moment reflects on the temple theology in the Old Testament where God's presence dwelled among His people. But now, through Christ Himself and by the Holy Spirit, the people themselves will become His temple. Are you His temple today? Right? True worship flows from revelation to redemption. The joy of the disciples previews that joy of the new creation for us that will come in Revelation. Ascension worship is a resurrection fueled, Spirit-shaped, mission-oriented. It's worship that leads each one of us to wait. And waiting leads to witness. Are you witnessing today? Amen. The ascension itself with Jesus is not just a moment in His biography, is it? But it is truly a hinge in salvation history. He who descended now ascends, carrying your humanity into heaven, sending the Spirit to dwell within us here on earth until He returns. Right? Until He returns, we live in the already, but not yet, of His reign. Amen. The already exalted, Christ is King. Not yet consummated. We wait for His return, knowing. So we live between joy received and glory revealed. Empowered by the Spirit. Proclaiming repentance and forgiveness. And blessing God in joy. May we go forth in that power of that risen and ascended Lord. Rooted in the Spirit, filled with His Spirit. Our Scripture's filled with His Spirit. And waitful, be faithful in the witness until the day that He returns in glory. Again, today we gather on that seventh Sunday of Easter. As we stand at that pivotal moment in the church calendar, the ascension of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. The Scripture gives us truly a powerful snapshot. Not just of Christ's departure, right? But of His commission and His promise for us. This moment is not just about Jesus going up, right? But it is about us being sent out. The ascension is not the end, but it is truly the beginning. A hinge between the resurrection and Pentecost. Between Christ's earthly ministry and the church's mission. Jesus begins by anchoring His disciples in Scripture. He opens their minds to understand how everything, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms all pointed to Him. The ascension is not a surprise, but it is truly a fulfillment, isn't it? It shows this. It shows that God keeps His promises. It shows that the story of Jesus is the center of the biblical narrative. And shows that we too, each one of us, must live with minds open to the Scripture. As we await between the ascension and Pentecost, let us become a people of the Word, asking for the Spirit to open our minds and hearts to see Christ in all the Scriptures. The resurrection and the ascension are not just theological truths, but they are truly testimonies to be told. The church itself is not a club, is it? We're not a golf club or a country club, are we? But we are a mission to carry. We're a mission to carry. The message, repentance and forgiveness. The audience is all nations, right? And the messengers were the disciples. And now, the messengers are each one of us. The ascension is truly a commissioning moment. We do not celebrate Christ going up, right? We receive His call to go out. Who in your life needs to hear the message today of repentance and grace that we live? The disciples were not left helpless, were they? Jesus has sinned, but promises that power through the Holy Spirit would still be there. This is what we are now waiting for as we approach the Pentecost. Waiting is not passive, though, is it? It's expectant. It is preparing. It is praying. It is watching. Are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit today? Are you trying to live a Christian life on your own today? Wait on God. Wait on God. Seek His presence. Be clothed with power from on high. Jesus' final act on earth is to bless His people. His hands, once pierced, are now lifted in blessing. His departure is not an abandonment, right? But an enthronement. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and interceding for each one of us. Christ reigns now as King. Christ intercedes now as a high priest for us. And Christ will return in the future as judge. Right? We live in a world that feels chaotic right now. But Christ is on the throne. Amen. 24/7, 365. Don't live in fear like the world wants you to. But truly live and trust and worship each and every day. The response to the ascension is truly worship, joy, and faithful presence. No gloom, no confusion, right? Just joyful anticipation of what's next. Are y'all excited for Him to come back? I know I am, amen. How about y'all watching at home? Y'all excited for God to come back? Is your heart postured in worship as you wait? Is your life marked by joy as you serve? The ascension calls each one of us not to stare to the sky, right? But to worship, to witness, and to wait. We live between two mountaintops. We live between Mount Calvary, where Christ died and He rose, and Mount Olivet, where He ascended and will return. In between, though, we are His people, aren't we? We're anchored in Scripture. We're empowered by the Spirit. We're living on mission. Or we should be anyway, right? So on this seventh day of Easter, or seventh Sunday of Easter, remember this. He was lifted up so that we could be sent out. Let's worship. Let's witness. And wait for the joy. Wait with joy. For Christ reigns. And He will forever and He will return. Amen. So today, as Easter tide draws towards Pentecost, we stand on the Mount of Ascension. We gaze upon or upward like the disciples. But we no longer linger there, right? For the angel reminds us, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus will come back. Amen. Until that day, though, we are called to live as people of resurrection power. People with enlightened hearts. People under a reigning and ascended King. Amen. So I echo Paul's prayer to you. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, the riches of His inheritance, and the immeasurable greatness of His power. Resurrection power, right? At work in you. We got to know the story. We got to immerse ourselves in the Scripture to see how Jesus fulfills all things through us. We got to wait for the power. Don't rush it. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of times trying to rush things getting done. No patience, right? Don't rush it. Don't rush into the mission without prayer and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We got to live as witnesses. We're not passive spectators, are we? But we are to be the ones that are sent. We're carrying the gospel to all the nations that we come in contact with. And we got to worship and joy. just like the disciples, let's respond to Christ's ascension not with fear, but with joy, knowing that He reigns forever and ever and ever, and will return. Amen. As we get ready for the final song, let's pray. As we prepare for Pentecost, let us remember that the ascension is not an ending, but it is truly an exaltation. Christ now reigns at the right hand of our Father, and we are His church. We're called, we're empowered, and blessed. May we, like the first disciples, return to our world with worship, with joy, and with bold witness to everybody that we see, to all nations, right? Lord, may You put somebody in front of us this week, Lord, that we can truly tell about Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love, Lord. Lord, more importantly, about how much You loved us enough, Lord, not only, Lord, to die on that cross for us, Jesus, but to be raised from that grave 3 days later, Lord. Lord, and for that ultimate empowerment, Lord, of Your ascension to heaven, Lord, to be at the right hand of the Father, Lord, any time that we need intercession, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. Lord, and we're waiting, thankful for the Holy Spirit that You sent back to us, Lord, to live within each one of us, Lord. We're expectantly waiting, Lord, joyfully waiting, Lord, to worship You, Lord, when You return in that final season, Lord. We thank You for each and everything that You do. In Your name I pray. And everybody say it.